Any of you been on an interview at a job? Anybody remember those days? One of the things that happened is they usually asked you one of the questions, and that was, tell me about yourself. Hopefully not a whole paragraph or all the day of the interview. I went to one place in Dallas, Texas with one company. And as the interview went, one of the gentlemen who was known for being a very hard interviewer, one of the questions he asked, he said, describe yourself in one word, your management, your abilities as an executive. And so I thought for a while, and then mine was balance. And he said, I'm surprised that you could get one that fast. And mine was that I can balance the administrative task and the operational task. I can have a balance there. And as a manager, you end up being pulled some way. Some excel, like on nurses, they'll excel on the clinical side, but maybe not on the patient side. Or excel on the patient side, but not on the administrative side. And so as you interview people, you kind of try to figure out who they are. In Jesus' time, it was interesting because he had been going around healing people. He was, as a child, spoke in the synagogues and had no teaching at all that they knew of. And yet people were astonished at this young boy, then young man, and they began to talk. We know that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, the leaders of the Jewish sect, did not appreciate Jesus, did they? Many times we find out that their impression was he was someone who was going to try to overthrow government. He was someone who was telling them how they were doing things wrong. And nobody wants to hear that, do they? And so they despised Jesus. Even in John, the Gospel of John, remember the cross, it's the only gospel that mentions the sign that was above the cross. It was translated, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And then when you translate that through, a Nazarene was despised. So it was Jesus, the despised one, the King of the Jews. That's what they thought of Jesus. So Jesus asked the disciples, this is a time that he finally is away from the crowds, he takes them aside, and he says, who do people say I am? Have you ever asked that with someone else? What's somebody think about me? How am I doing? What do other people think? What are you hearing? Sometimes you don't have to ask. Sometimes you find out, they'll just tell you, right? There's talk going around. And some say, well, you know, you could be a prophet. Some say you're a prophet. Some say that you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Could be Jeremiah, could be Elisha. And then he got to the tough question. Who do you say I am? So I did a survey today. I won't mention names. But here are some of the responses that we received. Somebody said Jesus to them is their guide. And that's a nice description, isn't it? That means to me, that's somebody who relies on God to guide them through their day, through their life, through their career. They are looking to God to guide them. Before they would step out and do something on their own, they're looking to him for guidance. That tells me also that the individual knows Jesus in what? A personal way. Doesn't just know about Jesus, but knows him personally and has experienced as he guides them. He hasn't failed them in his guidance, has he? But they've learned to trust in Jesus. Remember the little hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and what? Obey. He's giving you the guidance. I thought that was beautiful. And I know that person. That person has a genuine, God-loving heart. Life hasn't always been easy, but they continued to trust God. What a testimony. The next one was, I had more than one person say this. They said, Jesus is my Savior. It's interesting because even Mary, esteemed in many of the different religious things in religion and in the Catholic Church and that, she even says right in her prayer as she's pregnant with the Lord Jesus, He is my Savior. Mary needed a Savior. I needed a Savior. You need a Savior. And as a Savior, it means that He came. God's best came for you. No matter who you were, no matter what you've done, He died and came that you might have a relationship with the Holy God. And when God looks at you, He no longer sees you in sin. He sees you because He has to be able to see you as perfect, and your sins have been washed away. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Someone else told me, because I think this is where their vision probably has been for a while, He is my road to, where do you think they said? Heaven. Are you looking forward to heaven? Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. If you read Revelation chapter 21 and 22 as a homework assignment one day, I mentioned that to you when you had your loss. You see what heaven's like, and if you're missing somebody, missing a spouse or whatever, you see the splendors of heaven. And what a wonderful place. And no matter how beautiful today is, or tomorrow, or wherever you may go, doesn't compare to heaven. So this person's vision was looking at heaven. Another said, He is my protector. He is the one that I love. A protector. And don't we need that? I mean, as soon as we leave these doors, maybe in here, but we hope not. But as soon as we leave these doors, don't we need a protector? I can remember that Monday, right after church, I'm still here. There is a protector. Car's gone, but I'm still here. In life, we need a protector. Sometimes He protects us from the things that would harm us. We wonder why it happens. We may not learn until later on, and we find His guidance and protection. This is what's really neat. Some, more than one person said, Jesus is my friend. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you, in my life, I've found it very hard to have real friends. I can have a lot of associates or contacts. What'd you call them in business? Networking, whatever it is for your business. But a true friend, I hope some of you have found true friends. And a friend is what? Someone who is what? Always there for you. You can call them what? I've heard people in here offer friendship and say, no matter what you're going through, you can call me, and you can call me what? Anytime. Well, hopefully you really mean that, but be a friend, because some people, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, what are you calling me for? But a friend. Today and years before us, it's a lonely world. There are people out there who are lonely. There are people feeling nobody cares for me. But knowing you have a friend in Jesus, I think there's a hymn for that too somewhere, isn't there? What a friend we have in Jesus, right? See, if you think about these hymn writers, they were looking at things, and then they feel and give their feelings out and put them in passionate words. And I hope as you contemplate your devotional time, your quiet time with the Lord Jesus, you will find that you have a friend in Jesus. Someone mentioned that Jesus is my rock, and he also is my hiding place. A rock, firm, my foundation that I build my house upon, my life upon, and a place where nobody else may reach me. Nobody really may understand me. Nobody may never know what I'm going through. But I can hide and be with him, and he knows. I used to tell one of my daughters that no matter what your situation, even if you're angry with God, let him know. He already does. And whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through, as you walk in your Christian life, you can go to someone like Jesus or him. This one was great. Next person said, Jesus is my everything. Everything. And that's probably the hardest part in our Christian life is to surrender all. I surrender all. You know that one too? I surrender all. Have we got to that point in our Christian life and walk? Have we decided to surrender all to Jesus? Or do we keep a little bit back? He can have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday's my day, Wednesday, and Friday, of course, you can't have him, right? Got to do stuff. Now, every day is a walk with Jesus. So, have you got to that point in your life that he's your everything? The other one was very close. It said he's my all. All to Jesus. We owe everything to him. And when we realize that in our life, what a blessing it is that we have that relation that would draw us that way. Another one, some are very easy when you get to talk to people. They put it in plain language so you understand it. Jesus is my buddy. Simple, that anybody would understand. Why do we ask you these things? But like the disciples were asked, who do you say that I am? And he made it very personal. In your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, in your personal walk, you need to know surely who Jesus is in your life. God still has work for you. He's not done with you. And I would challenge anyone that has grandchildren. Anybody have any grandchildren? You raise your hand. We know that there's a few out there. Grandchildren? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Some still have children. Couldn't have the grandchildren without some children. You got children? And here's a question you could ask them in conversation. I just have a question for you. Who is Jesus to you? It's going to open up some conversation. It's going to give you a time in your life where you'll be able to witness to them. And it's better to do it now than them to wonder who you were or what you were. It gives you the assurance that, number one, I care so much about you and love you so much, I want to know what your relation is with Jesus. And that's going to open the door that you're going to be able to share your relationship. You're going to share why Jesus is important to you and how you've gone through life with Jesus and how you describe him. And it's good to know how they describe him. And in this hurting world, in this lonely world, in this world that is trying to steal people away from following Christ, you will be that person who's able to redirect. You'll be that person to be able to show Christ's love. You'll be that person that maybe the one day that they are looking and needing help, they will call. So it's your little homework, in a sense, to check and see. It's a general question. Who is Jesus? Verse 16, Simon Peter had mentioned, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus mentions to them, it wasn't your own thought that came to that conclusion. And those answers that we received from a survey simply asking you that question didn't come from your flesh and blood. It came from your relationship through the power of the Holy Spirit, who revealed to you who Christ is. The Holy Spirit drew you to Himself. You started, maybe you read the Bible even when you were young, but it didn't make any sense. But now as you read God's Word, the Holy Spirit helps you understand what is said. What do I need to do? How do I accept the Lord? What has He done for me? And you'll be able to go ahead and grasp on that and know who He is, just as disciples. And that's why Jesus said, it's not flesh and blood that told you this. And then later on, there's some verses that people have trouble interpreting. I don't know if we can go later when Pat has another study, look at those verses or not. But he mentions about Peter being a rock and establishing the church. There's a few interpretations with that. The Catholic Church believes that he literally is the one that starts to spearhead the church. And there's nothing wrong with the different things that come up that people have interpreted, but I think the major thing we'll have to probably find out when we get to heaven. Perhaps Jesus said, Peter indeed is the rock which he'll be the church. Perhaps Jesus was speaking of himself and saying, your name means rock, Peter. I will build my church on myself, which is a better rock. That could make sense. And some, the rock of confession Peter made of Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. The confession is the rock that the church is built on. Again, we don't know exactly, but the point is the same foundation. So simply today, you may not have been part of the survey, but you are now. Think and write down or contemplate it in your heart. If someone was to ask today, who is Jesus to you? What would you say? And please accept the challenge that if you do have someone out there that you love, even a good friend, ask them that question and have a conversation in that way. What is Jesus to them? And share what He is to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for hymns that remind us of how great You are, that You are the Savior of the world, that in a time that we need help, we can go to the rock. And nothing can wash our sins away except through the blood of Christ. Lord, we thank You for a short passage that reminds us of who You are. We truly, as a church today, stand upon that You truly are the Son of God. You truly are the Messiah. And then for each one of us, our personal relationship has some special names and positions in our life. And we thank You and the Holy Spirit for giving us those blessed thoughts. In Jesus' precious name, amen.